What up, folks? Get Out the Room is back. Get Out the Room, episode 83. We still not going to make it to 90 before the end of the year, but we out here, though.
Hey, wait, no, we were saying 100 before, though.
No. We knew that was bullshit. That's not going to happen.
So, all right, that's fair.
90. Fair enough. We're shooting for 90, fam.
90, fair enough. That's doable.
I believe so. I think that's just doable. Yep. So check it out. You're listening to Get Out the Room. It's a horror movie pop culture podcast. I'm your host, Jay. As always, I got my man Scott with me. Scott, what's going on?
I'm feeling really good. I have one of my ice cubes, the false ice cubes, in a glass, and I'm drinking Maker's 46 on the rocks.
Yeah, that 46 is beautiful. I have decided to get bougie on y'all motherfuckers, and I muddled some strawberries. I muddled some strawberries, and then I threw some mango juice off in it, and then I threw some Tito's on top of it. So I would definitely be drinking it with my pinky out. Get on my level.
Yep, understood.
Yeah. So check it out.
Wait, I'm gripping mine with a deep grip.
The drink is called Get On My Level. That's what it's called.
Get On My Level.
Get On My Level. Okay, that's cool.
The other voice you hear right now is one of Scott's closest friends and a really good homie, cat I met when I went out to Cincinnati so we could go to Horror Hound. It's everybody's friend, Dre. Dre, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what's up, Eddie? How are y'all doing? I'm Andre from the James and Andre podcast.
There you go.
Just coming in to chime in with the fellas to talk about aliens and what's the name called? We are still here? Or,
yes, we are still here.
Yeah, and I'm currently sipping on something very ridiculous. I'm sipping on some brandy. With some Pepsi.
Oh, yeah. I know what that is.
And I just,
say the brand. No, say the brand.
E&J?
Yeah, you have to say the brand.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I never really drank it in my life. And a couple, like a week ago, I was over somebody's house, and I was trying to figure out something to mix. And I said, oh, what's this over here? And I was like, E&J, I guess I'll do this. And I've never really drank it, and I love it. And yeah, all my friends make fun of me.
I'm telling you, our two hood listeners are really fucking proud right now.
That's why you had to say it.
A gigantic bottle for like $20. It's amazing. Yes. It's amazing.
Sometimes quality, bro. You gotta find the middle ground.
Okay, sir, what is a middle ground brandy that I
drink? I don't drink brandy.
Do you drink?
Bourbon and vodka.
Okay. Cheers. Let me write this down.
I'll drink to that.
Okay, give me a middle of the road, sir. Give me a middle of the road bourbon or vodka.
So when you go to the store and you want value for your vodka, just go grab the Tito's. Get the Tito's.
How you spell that?
T-I-T-O. Tito's, man.
T-I-T-O.
Like Jack Ray, like you've had Tito's before. You've had Tito's.
Like the Jacksons, dog.
And is that brandy or a vodka?
That's a vodka.
Vodka, yeah. Got it.
And it's gluten free too.
It is.
Oh wow!
So you will not feel terrible in the morning.
And for brandy,
I've never drank brandy before. And whenever somebody tries to make something with brandy in it, I was like, "So there's vodka or
just
bourbon,
get Maker's Mark bourbon. You'll be all right."
I love Maker's Mark.
Just Maker's and keep it moving.
There you go.
So that's what we do out here.
I went through a Maker's phase for like 2 months.
How about 12 years?
Whoa.
Yeah,
vet over there, vet.
Maker's Mark ambassador. I got a barrel in.
I do too.
Yeah, Laredo, Kentucky, with my name on it.
And did they? Wait, hold on. How many gifts have they sent you for Christmas?
Like 12.
Yeah. I got earmuffs for my bottle, and mm-hmm. I got
mistletoe.
Mistletoe. Yeah. Yep.
That was a good one. It's cool. I didn't utilize it enough though. But yo, check it out. Get Out the Room. You can find us literally everywhere good podcasts are fine. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podomatic, Wicked Radio Network, the home team, the first people who believed in us. We love y'all.
Absolutely.
Listenopoly. Anywhere. You can find us anywhere. We out there. So
yeah, just type in GOTR, Get Out the Room.
Yeah.
We're there.
Yeah, seriously. If you Google Get Out the Room, our shit is the first shit that comes up. I was really impressed by that.
Yeah.
I'm telling y'all. Yeah. And I 100% believe You guys, y'all need to. Now, what's the goal by the end of the year? What's the goal again?
90.
How many episodes? Well, we're
90, yeah. And we're on 83 right now.
Yeah, that's damn near one a month. I don't know if we can do that shit.
Yeah, that's tough. That is tough.
That's it. Nah,
summer going to get ugly. But, you know, we got some things coming up. Spider-Man's, Wonder Woman's, and, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we got, that Ragnarok coming. And obviously right before September is when the new month for horror that's kind of blown up has become September recently, strangely.
Oh, really?
Hey, you know what we get horror-wise, too, dude? There's a new fucking Saw coming out this year.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about that. I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh, I'm absolutely worried about it, but...
You know, we talked about ushering in the era of torture porn between, you know, Saw and Hostel. You know, Saw, in and of itself, the very first film was not that gory. It was a lot more psychological. It was a really well-done, really thought-out film. But what came after it, not so much.
Right.
But yeah, so... We got some things popping up.
I'm telling you right now, y'all look as the new guy to this, just coming to hang out. Y'all getting to 90 before the end of the year. Y'all getting there.
We're gonna make it. We're gonna make it.
Yeah,
we are. Well, fall of, like October, we always do. We manage to squeeze that out maybe once every couple weeks.
Yeah, we get two or three in October, so that should help us.
Yeah.
Y'all getting to 91.
That's
shit. Yeah.
Great.
That's that Dennis Rodman number.
Yeah, that's so Dre's taking over. Dre's taking over on that.
Yeah, straight up, man.
Yo,
straight
did you ever hear how Dennis Rodman said he wanted to retire?
Oh, man, how?
So he said on his final game he wanted to get 100 rebounds and walk off the court naked. Dead ass.
I love
it. I think I remember that.
That's great. That's great.
Good thing he got suspended and nobody picked him up after he was with the Mavs. Yeah, they was like, nah, bro.
He's a wild dude.
Hey, wait, hold on. Did you guys hear about this Big Three Ice Cube?
I heard about that.
League? What do you guys think about this?
That's fine.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
I think it sounds good.
I mean, there's a ton of really good basketball players who may not necessarily be able to run at the same rate that they did when they were younger and, you know, put up baskets in an NBA 5-on-5, but a 3-on-3, they will cook you. I have played in some of those pro-ams over the summer, and dudes that are like 30 pounds heavier than they were when they played, you know, slower than you could ever think, they will cook literally 99% of the world. So, giving those dudes the opportunity to show, like KG will still cook everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just because he's not playing in the NBA right now, KG will give you buckets all day and tell your mama she ain't shit. So
KG ain't playing though, is he?
I don't know if he signed a contract.
Yeah, I don't think he did. But you know,
the biggest name is Allen Iverson.
You know, AI can still fill a bucket up, man.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's funny because somebody I'm always in the
and
podcast.
Kmart, baby, Kmart.
I'm always listening to the podcast, and somebody from ESPN was talking like, there's going to be a lot of elbows and scratching and all kind. Like, hey, it's going to be really old. It's going to be like old school. Like, they just going to, man.
When does that start? When does that start up?
Midsummer, I think. Let me look at I don't know.
Look, if Cube finds a way to get some distribution rights for that where it's televised, he's done incredibly well, man.
Agreed. And you know what? People will watch it, too.
Hell yeah. Maybe not for a whole season, but, you know, if you get really good viewer ratings in the first couple where people care, and, like, let's say you get some international ballers, you know.
They need to get some Hall of Famers, some more Hall of Famers, though.
Yeah, but I think a lot of folks are doing a wait and see, and I don't think that's a bad thing. If they find a way to run the league well. You know, you get so Dominique Wilkins is one of the dudes that I saw play later on in life. When, you know, people are like, oh, he's not Neek anymore. Dude could still get off the floor really fast.
Wait, was he on the Wizards?
Nah, this was in Boston, pro-ams. Late 90s.
Okay.
So you imagine you get some cats like that. You're like, oh, they've been out of the league 5 or 6 years. Think of somebody like Rip Hamilton, right? Rip Hamilton, I guarantee you, will just J your face off. I guarantee you he will J your face off to this day. Right?
Yeah.
So there's no way you can tell me that some of these guys who aren't playing in the league can't still find ways to fill a basket up. Now, the only question becomes, will the checks clear every week? Will they have referees that are consistent? Will everything be run well, run properly? That's literally the only question. Everything else will take care of itself.
It starts January 25th. It's 10 weeks from January 25th to August 26th.
June 25th.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. June. You're right. June.
Okay.
So, you know, it's probably like a whole bunch of games that, you know.
Has a network picked it up?
I thought ESPN was going to cover it, but I don't see the network.
Look, they just fired 100 motherfuckers. I doubt they're going to take a chance on that.
Fox
Sports. It's the kind of shit that's going to be on a cable network we barely heard of.
Nah, man, that's a Fox Sports Network joint.
You think so?
Yeah, I can see them. Yeah, they want viewers. They want viewers. They gave
Jason Whitlock a show, dog. Come on.
Yeah.
Dang, man. I like it. We got quiet. We're like, yeah, they did.
I got an issue with Whitlock. I'm not even going to get into it because we here to talk about some other shit. But real quick.
By the way, that tangent just derailed the whole system.
Hell yeah. That's why you see that pivot? That's what we call it in a business. That pivot. so it's a story out of... you guessed it, Florida. So a guy was fired for dumping what he thought was a fake corpse into a dumpster, what turned out to be a real dead body of a 90-something-year-old woman.
Whoa.
My first question is, why do you think it was fake?
He said, I swear to God, the face looked like the rubber mask. If I thought for one instant that it was a real person, I would have called the police, my manager, anybody I could think of. But he dumped that shit in a dumpster, and he thought it was a mannequin that belonged to an old lady.
I'm mad you said dump that shit in the dumpster, and it's an old lady. Yeah. Like, wait, what job was it, though? Was he a coroner? I mean, was it like, was he a Kinko's? I mean, what regular job is this? Like, is it something where is he working at a costume shop? What job is this?
So he's a desk clerk at an apartment complex.
Whoa.
Wow.
He should have known better.
That's Norm Bates shit there.
Hey, you know, apparently the lady had committed suicide by jumping off the 16th floor.
So and she didn't pay rent.
Hey.
So he took it upon himself.
I'm not going to make no jokes on the dead because, player, I got two kids. I got a legacy to leave, so I can't be talking shit like that. But if you would like to continue, you go right ahead, brother.
Dang, I appreciate you making it real somber right there. Now I got you got to think about my life and stuff. Hey. Like, dang, like, now I got to spread my seed so I can stop being silly.
Hey, go ahead. Go five hole on him, Dre. Go five hole on him.
Oh, man.
That's right.
That's just messed up, though. He did that on purpose. He deserved to get fired, though.
Well, he definitely got fired. I'm surprised he didn't go on no charges for that shit, but...
It's probably coming. They just ain't letting us know.
It's Florida. He ain't gonna get no charges. Scott, you said...
Damn.
Well, yeah.
You said you had a little something for us. You sure you want to share this, bro?
Yeah, you know what? I will share it. You know what? Because fuck it. Okay.
Here we go.
So, I had a fucked up dream yesterday, and it is horror related. It's also comic book related, so just bear with me, okay?
Here we go.
I saw a video yesterday that I'm going to preface this with something I saw that was viral. It was on I think it was on the I Fucking Love Science from Facebook. It's just a page on Facebook. And they put up cool science articles and stuff, and They showed the process of how a Hercules beetle goes from a larva to, you know, a full-grown insect.
Yep, I seen that.
Okay. So, and the Hercules beetle is, like, bigger than your hand, like, when it's full-grown. It's just a giant fucking insect. So, the dream opens. I'm standing in a comic book store. I'm reading comic books with Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones.
Okay. What?
Yeah. And we're just reading comics. That's all we're doing. We're just reading comics. We go upstairs to, I guess it's like either my apartment or her apartment. I don't know, to an apartment. And she disappears And I noticed that there's a Hercules beetle walking across the living room floor, and I pick it up, and there's a face on its back, a human face on its back, screaming. And it's the dude that played her villain in that show.
David Tennant.
Yes. It's him. So I drop it and I run out of the room, and when I come back, the thing's not there anymore. Well, there's a guy standing in the corner. He's just standing there, like leaned up against the wall, and he's got this like at the bottom of his left leg, he's got like a bulge at the bottom of his leg there, like above his ankle. And I don't see the beetle anywhere, so I lift up the pant leg, and now he's got like a growth on his leg that is the David Tennant's face on this dude's like goiter or something.
Jesus Christ, this is not going well.
yeah, man. I can't get this out of my head because it's so fucked up. And I run out of the house, and eventually the guy that comes out of the house is David Tennant. He just runs out after me. And then Jessica Jones comes back to try and fight him, but he kills her, and then I wake up.
L's all around, cuz. L's all around for that one. No more horror movies in the dark, dude. Like, turn a light on. Even if it's in the kitchen, turn a light on, dude.
I'm not gonna lie, the first thing I thought about was, did you hook up with Jessica Jones girl? But that has nothing to do with this. But it does because it's a dream. But I'm really that is horrifying. Straight up, that's very horrifying. And wow, man!
Face of a celebrity you know on the back of a giant bug. I was kind of scared.
Yeah.
Oh man, Scott, we gotta get you some help, man. Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling like, damn, man, like screaming faces on a beetle, screaming faces on a goiter, screaming faces on a. Dang,
I just love
man.
The fact that you said goiter. That's the part that really.
Yeah, you're right. Because it's like, damn, he saying the specific thing it was. Oh, it was a goiter. Hey,
it was just terrifying.
It's really.
Did you wake up? Okay, look. The question is this: did you wake up terrified, or did you wake up in the morning like, okay?
No. I definitely woke up, and I wish I had I mean, have you guys ever had dreams where you wish you wrote them down so you could remember them better?
Yeah.
Well, damn, Scott, you remembered a lot. So I don't know what else you need to remember.
No. I remembered this because it was so fucked up, man. I mean, that's a dream. You can't unsee some of that stuff.
Yep.
Like, every time I see David Tennant now, I'm just going to go, like, your face should be screaming on the back of a bug.
Yeah, it's not good.
No, man, it's not.
This reminds me of Happy Gilmore, where the dude said, "May God have mercy on your soul. I award you no points."
No points, man.
I'm seriously like, wow, that is disturbing, man.
Yeah.
Like, damn, man, like.
All right, now that we're
scared,
should we talk some horror, Dan?
I mean, I thought we were just talking some horror. We got human faces on goiters now, so.
Thank you. We appreciate it, though, Scott. We do appreciate it.
So, man. Let's go ahead and jump into the big news of the week. Ridley Scott's Prometheus sequel. And let's be very, very clear from the jump. This is not an alien movie. This is a Prometheus sequel.
Mm.
So I feel like that should set the tone for the conversation.
Even though they misled us by calling it Alien Covenant.
But it's
well,
I got you though.
Yeah.
Misled.
Well, I agree with what you're saying, especially by the opening scene sets. We talked about this today. The opening scene kind of sets the tone that you're thinking, wow, okay, we're walking back to Prometheus. When you see the title, Alien Covenant gives you the thought that, hey, we're going to go into an alien movie. And even the trailers have you seeing your alien attacking a ship and your alien attacking people in a shower. And but the opening scene set, Damon said it best today. It sets the tone for the whole movie because it opens on two characters from Prometheus talking about heady shit that they never talked about in Alien.
Yeah. So Jay Adson and I were actually talking about this before, that Ridley Scott was asking too many questions that he didn't know how to ask. And I felt like that wasn't necessarily true. I felt that we're dealing with the idea of creation. And, you know...
Well, that is the ultimate theme of the movie.
Right, of both films. So, the idea of having somebody like David, right? Waylon created David to be a perfect representation of himself to go further into the world. The problem is, he forgot that when you create something that's so perfect, it now has free will. So what he didn't mean to create was the perfect person. What he meant to create was a vessel. And the very first scene illustrates that very well, because David irritates him almost immediately.
Right. Go get my tea. And then he had to demean him right away, too.
Like immediately. And David is now learning, man, fuck this species. This species ain't shit.
Right.
They have not evolved, because he believes xenomorphs are perfect.
So, like what's his name from the first movie? What's that android's name in the first movie? Ash.
Right, right.
He thought that too.
So, and that's also a theme. Synths are not necessarily your friend.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, Bishop was.
Yeah, Bishop and
Bishop was good.
Walter.
His first time, Bishop was great. Second time around, though.
Yeah, that's true, but we have Bishop and Walter.
Bishop and Walter are, yeah, truly the only good ones. But Walter was the pared-down version of David.
That's true.
All of the free will. All the free will, all the aspects that made David special have been taken out of him.
But Walter is the perfection of what human beings wanted David to be.
He wasn't necessarily the perfection. He was...
I mean, that's what they wanted. I mean, perfection as in, you are a machine, you do what we say.
Yep, absolutely. You take care of us above all else. Yeah.
Yep. You know, even though he was like, remember, well, you know, we'll get into spoilers soon enough, you know. But, that opening scene where the creator was programming, he basically... programming David. Yeah, it was interesting to see.
He was testing it out for. It was the first time that the two of them had met and spoken, and they were testing each other. And I don't think that Waylon was prepared for how advanced David was, because he was expecting someone simply to go get his tea. He was expecting someone to just do whatever he said.
Praise
David's
him.
Sitting there, and he names himself after the statue in the center of the room.
And oh, he's and remember named
things that, I mean,
yeah. And remember, he hated the fact that he played that song. He was like, "Why are you? That song has no symphony with it. Isn't that doesn't work?" It was like, "Dang, man, is that like he told you told him to play a song, man? You didn't tell him what
he told him dealer's choice." But the idea behind Dealer's Choice is your iPod on random. Not a DJ choosing a song and you don't get any say. You know, very, very real. We take no requests, bruh. You asked me to choose a song, I chose it. You can't then be mad at the song I chose.
Yeah, he was mad, though. Like, ugh, like you picked this one? Like, you downloaded that into his mind. Like, oh, man, it was very it was weird. That opening scene was excellent. It was excellent.
Now, I will say this though, and now I'm getting into where I stand with this movie by saying this. So you say it's more a Prometheus movie than an Alien movie. I do agree. That's what they intended based on the first scene. However, part of the problem with this movie is the tone shift from going from the heady thought-provoking tones that Prometheus gave us, which is one of the things I really like about Prometheus. Yep. And moving into the horror aspect of what Alien really is, and horror sci-fi, you know what I mean, but the horror aspect of Alien, look, it quickly went down to the Alien level. I mean, in Prometheus, one of the best scenes is the scene that is the chest burster scene of that movie when Shaw has the thing removed from her stomach. This yeah. movie,
the Alien this movie, motion.
Yeah. Yeah, the surgery squid, machine.
That, the squid awesome. Smush motion.
The smush motion, yes, yes. Correct.
Squid motion.
But the squid
like,
motion.
I was like, damn, is that real?
Even up to when they land on the engineer's planet, they, you know, the spores don't, you don't know what's going to happen yet. It's up, it takes that scene to really start diverting the movie from Prometheus into Alien.
Yep.
And then it never comes back to Prometheus, and that's the problem. The tone, it bounces right to Alien, and then it just stays there. Yep. Like, look, I mean, we saw from the trailer, we knew one of the early characters was going to get that, whatever was coming out of his fucking back. We saw people start getting sick, and when the numbers started dropping, you're going, now wait a minute, they set the tone early on, and now we're in a typical Alien sequel.
Yeah.
And that's,
hey people,
and that's
from this point on, there might be spoilers. We may not fully spoil it, but just know there might be some spoilers here. Yeah. Dre, let me ask you.
Yes.
When you saw that there was going to be a moment where things was going to go real left real fast with the inclusion of the spores, what was your first thought?
Oh, my first thought was that they would just get sick. I didn't necessarily think the spores were automatically xenomorphs. I thought it was going to be like a fever or a flu or something. But I thought it was just going to be something different from that as a whole. Because as you enter a new atmosphere, it might be something different than the common cold, but I didn't think it was going to be just directly linked, bam, Alien.
Wait, did you guys think it was weird that they stepped out of the ship without helmets on?
Yes.
No. So they explained that away really, really early on when they plotted the course for this planet. They did all the readings of whether it was habitable and whether or not it had, you know, levels of O2, of everything. They explained all that away really early on.
Oh, okay. Then I must have missed that then.
Yeah. They literally tried to take that out so you don't have to worry about it.
Okay. Well, I mean, it doesn't bother me a lot, but I did think
they
got out of the ship, and I'm like, wait a minute, what? They don't have helmets on.
I would contest that they poorly explained it away by saying, oh, it's the same atmosphere content, blah, 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 blah. But any responsible scientist would be like, well, we don't know about the germs.
No. But let's also be clear. Again, this is a Prometheus sequel. So we are also going off the fact with the prior
faith.
Knowledge.
They're going on faith.
No. You're not just going on faith.
Billy Scott.
I mean, Billy Crudup. Billy Crudup was, and his faith, see what that shit got him. Got him hugged
faith,
the fuck up.
Hey, faith, the atheism, it didn't matter. It's going after everybody.
I mean, look, that faith got his face hugged, so shout out to him. But,
Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, Dr. Yeah. Manhattan. But so the whole thing is going off the idea that you're calling back to Prometheus that the engineer's home planet had an atmosphere that was similar to ours. So that if they found a habitable planet, that this was the engineer's home planet.
Because when they got into the ship on Prometheus, they were able to breathe. Yes, okay. Yep, got it.
See what I mean?
Makes sense. Yep.
Again, these are like the really strong Prometheus ties.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
But we also knew...
I don't want to get it... turned around here. I don't hate the fact that the tone shifted to Alien, because I like, you know, the Alien movies are awesome. I mean, we go at length anytime we can to talk about the original Alien movie and the sequel. Those are great films, but the problem is that Prometheus was a very different movie than Alien. Links were there.
It was a philosophical movie.
Correct. And so the tones don't necessarily work really, really well together. So when you're trying to have a movie where you want to think a little bit more, and then suddenly you see these new xenomorphs and the original xenomorph running around and taking people out like you're used to, it's just jarring. You know what I mean? It's not what you expect.
The change happened on a dime, dog.
For the listeners, what is the difference between a Prometheus movie and an Aliens movie? I keep on hearing this same tone, like, well, it's not it switched from Prometheus to Aliens.
Prometheus is a much, let's say, a much higher level view of all interactions. It is a philosophical movie. Who are we? Where do we come from? What is the meaning of creation? What is the meaning of life? Right? Right. An Alien movie is an experience, a literal try-to-survive experience. So we've funneled all the way down from these very huge philosophical ideas down to this really small moment of, can you fucking survive?
Mm.
And the movie turned into that in literally two scenes.
Yeah. I mean, right when the Neomorph was introduced, this new alien creature, which I contest still is pretty cool.
It's incredibly cool. Yeah, I mean, it was literally the moment
it was tight.
That homie stepped on the spore.
Yeah, that was cool. Now, but the minute that the movie does change there, because then suddenly it's the frantic.
Yes.
It's suddenly just frantic, and the tension is built. And
frantic's a great word. Because the pace becomes frantic. For a movie that was 2 hours long, I didn't feel like a ton happened. But motherfuckers was trying to... They were trying to live, though. They were doing whatever they could to get this life.
Yep.
But there was some shit that was trying to take their life away.
Okay.
You know, to hear somebody describe it, they're aggressive. The life forms.
Yeah.
You know, this is a sci-fi, this is a philosophy sci-fi film at the outset. You know, we hear words like pathogen a lot. They throw words like pathogen around a lot. And then you get to the point of recognizing, oh, that's what xenomorph is.
Right. Okay, now let's speak on this a little bit. And I'm going to get a little angry here. And this is the piece of the movie that really hit me off.
Yeah.
Okay. And we talked about this too. You probably know where I'm going to go with it.
Of course I do.
I love Alien. I like Prometheus. That's where I stand with those movies. Yep. Okay. Yep. Prometheus, one of the big criticisms it got, or one of the big things that people loved about Prometheus was people loved Michael Fassbender. They loved him. David was just a beloved introductory character for that film because Mike Fassbender is a great actor. He played a good part. He played the android part perfectly. You didn't know if you could trust him throughout the whole movie. He had that creepy smile, the hair that he made perfect based on a movie he was watching.
Yeah.
He was the perfect android character for that film. Okay? I get why you would want him to be the face and front and center of this film for the story they were building, but let's focus on what they really did here. And I'm giving this another spoil warning here. We can't talk about this movie without mentioning this because this is the piece that sets this movie where ultimately I'm going to consider this movie's rating is based on this one fact here. David ended Prometheus and he started Alien. They made him the central piece that the entire thing hinged on, and that. Like, I understand you like Michael Fassbender, but now I know that the eggs and the facehuggers and the xenomorphs came because he's the one that toiled with this bullshit, weapon.
He's the creator. Yeah.
And
even though it's confusing because we all thought the engineers were the reasons, which they still technically are.
They are. Like,
they are. Right. Yeah, they are.
It's primarily the engineers. So, it was like, what was the point of making David on top of the engineers be the one? Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just, they made him too important. It's okay to make him important, but they made him he's the reason the engineers were not on that planet anymore. He was the reason that Dr. Manhattan had his face chewed off by a facehugger, you know, or had his the facehugger attack. I mean, because he needed that last piece. He knew it. He's the one.
This goes back to the original question.
Creation. He wanted to create. Absolutely. I understand that.
He's playing God, which was always the criticism with Waylon to begin with.
I'm going to get meta here, though. He's playing God with a beloved franchise, and he is the God of this beloved franchise now. That's what this movie is positing here.
Yeah.
And that is what I can't get down with that. You introduce a character in the, what was Prometheus in the grand scheme of it? It's the seventh Alien movie, and right. You introduce a character that now is responsible.
That's if AVPs are canon.
Well, right. If the Versus movies are legit. But he's the reason why all of those existed. He was introduced in 2012. Alien 79. Like, you're going to make him that important?
But he's not. Wayland is the god behind all this. Because David is carrying Wayland's god complex in a way that he never could.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. But would David...
See, that's one step further.
Well, you gotta be so poetic, Damon. Dang, he got poetic right there. Dang, he got better meta.
Hey, if we gonna go there, we gotta go there, right?
Right.
True.
So, like, and I don't necessarily think that you're wrong in being frustrated by the fact that a synth is the linchpin for all of this, but in actuality, Waylon is the linchpin. Waylon is the motivator. He's the motor behind all this. It just so happened that David is the tool that he used to get to the end result. That's why we see Waylon even in Alien.
Wait, Waylon's in Alien? Oh, you mean the logo?
Yes.
Okay.
That name runs all, that's the common thread through everything.
Yes. It's like, I think it's Waylon and something. There's like another name, too.
Yeah.
Look, and you know that makes more sense. It just seems it seems strange to me to focus so much of each of these big movies here with a character that was introduced so recently for it's like if you did a Back to the Future Part 4 and you introduce like Marty's son and make the reason that Back to the Future existed because of Marty McFly's son instead of
Doc Brown's
correct.
That doesn't sound that bad, actually, though, Scott.
No, it would be Doc Brown's move.
It would be slapping fans of franchise in the face.
So you're basically finding out that Doc Brown's mom is the reason why time travel existed. Because she popped an idea in Doc Brown's head to where he could create the flux capacitor.
But wait a minute. Let me just say this right now. I just find it hilarious. Like, David, Scott looking at David, like, dude, man, you just came around in 2012. You ain't that relevant yet.
you new here, cuz.
Yeah. Hold up, David. You need to step back.
Yeah, you new here, cuz. You just got here.
I guess what I'm saying is...
You just got here.
This movie... Well, I guess what I'm getting at is this movie is... where I was hoping it was they were gonna let the theme of what Prometheus introduced kind of run through this film. Instead, what they did was they listened to what was wrong with Prometheus to fans who went in expecting an Alien film. They went in expecting to see, because Michael Fassbender was there. He was a name at this point. I mean, that motherfucker's Magneto. I mean, people were expecting to go in and see Michael Fassbender. And he did, you know, and he did a good job in Prometheus. He was fantastic. But it's like they beat us over the head with this, with the answers like, oh, you wanted aliens? Well, we're going to give you new aliens. We're going to give you an alien that survives being fucking burned and shot and can bang his head on glass and it's just they gave us, it was almost like, all right, let's stop and funnel this, or not funnel it, put it through a sieve, you know, like let's catch what we don't need to be in a sequel and really think about what we're doing a little bit more.
You want to see the vision of Prometheus actually played out and finished.
Correct.
Most people don't want that, though.
We talked about on this very show.
Yeah, but most people didn't want that. Most people wanted to see the Ale. We want to get the Ale. We want to get to the Nostromo. That's what people want.
But you don't need fucking four movies to do this.
You ain't never lied.
I mean, Ridley Scott now, he's got his franchise. Congratulations. Now we're not going to get whatever badass movie Neil Blomkamp was going to give us. I mean, sorry, fans. We're not getting that shit anymore.
I would like to hear... Scott's criticism spawned off because of David. I would like to hear Damon's criticism. One criticism of the movie.
My criticisms are a little different, man. And this is something that Tone talks about a lot. People should make decisions that make sense. Mm. Okay? Mm-hmm. Yep. This movie laid out the reasons why you should not make a dumbass decision, and yet people still made dumbass decisions. This is a resettlement ship. There are 2,000 people plus embryos of 1,141 people to start an entire new world. And you're going to take a goddamn detour because you don't feel like going back in a hypersleep?
Come on, man. You trained for this, and now you're like, we saw somebody die. No,
this is literally the only thing you're here to do. And, our guy Sam Waterston, his daughter, that's who that is, by the way. That's Sam Waterston's daughter from Law & Order. She laid out. Yeah. She was like, dog, this is a dumbass decision. Galaxy.
Wait, Sam Waterston. Who from Law & Order?
The main character, the main girl.
The daughter in real life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so the white dude in the original Law & Order, not SVU, but the original Law & Order.
Tell me, the dude that played the teapot in Beauty and the Beast? No, for real. One of the dude played Gaston or something from in Law & Order. He was in Beauty and the Beast. I'm not even joking. Scott's laughing, but I'm being dead serious. Oh, no, another guy. Okay, different guy. Okay, I see you're talking about that guy. I just looked him up.
Yeah.
Oh, so, really? That's his daughter? Oh,
yeah, that's his cool. daughter. She's also in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Mm.
But she is the voice of practical decision making from the audience point of view.
Okay.
We've searched the entire galaxy and we found Uruguay 6. It is perfect for us. We mounted all the way down to the point in which we will land this fucking ship. And we're going to throw all that away on a hunch?
And because they're afraid. Oh, we saw somebody die. We're afraid now.
We got 3,000 people on this ship that you're putting at risk off a hunch because you don't want to go back in a hypersleep for 7 years? Get the fuck out of here. Your job as emergency crew is to wake up, fix the ship, go back to sleep.
And you know who's acting real trash, too? Not to aid in your complaint, but know who's acting real trash as well? It's all about it's all about the mission, right? Walter should have been like, yo, nah. That'd been the perfect time for Walter to turn so-called evil with it. I know, that's the problem. That should be a fail-safe.
But this goes back to our original point about creation and free thought. Mm. David would have done that. We created Walter so he wouldn't.
Yes, Walter was toned down, and they did explain that. He was toned down to be more robotic
because he freaked everybody out.
Someone who serves humans, we're thinking someone who serves us does not have the right to tell us what not to do.
That's right. How dare you getting slapped?
Right. But I break my hand on you like I hit Colossus. Oh, my ship flapping in the wind.
Yep.
Right. But so to that point, we saw the decision making. This is a terrible idea, right? But we're going to do it anyway. We're going to risk all 3,000 people on a hunch. We get down here, the shit don't look right. Not only do we see hurricanes the size that we see on fucking Jupiter's surface, and we're going to fly through it, we're going to send the majority of the fucking emergency staff with it and leave a skeleton crew back on the ship.
Yeah.
What the mother bitch.
Oh, because...
So well, but the movie does because, want you to forget that shit. They want you to forget.
Wait a minute. We are living in such a high-tech society that you can have 3 people, man, 2,000 people, that's my guy.
Dude. So we left the pilot, the medic, and the medic's husband. That's it.
Yeah.
All right. So wait.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's it. They're the only people on the ship.
But, okay. Scott's argument was, David, your argument was dumbass. People being dumbasses, right?
Yeah, they're making terrible decisions. I mean, look, if homie was smart, he wouldn't have got face hugged. That's all I'm saying.
We are in agreement because the movie. Sometimes when I go into movies, I'm like, okay, this is. I'm like, okay, let me analyze if I like this or not. Wow, this is really good. The beginning of it. Wow, it's really good. Okay, the middle of it. Okay, I can see dude stepping on something to get something in his ear. It got a little shaky when the woman that was the captain's wife or Dr. Manhattan's wife was he in agriculture? Yeah, was he in agriculture or was he a doctor?
She was a doctor. Well, I think she was a botanist. Yeah, I think she's a botanist.
She almost seems like a botanist.
No,
yeah.
I think you're right. I think she's a botanist because she said she was going to take samples.
Yeah, she was like, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Whatever. And when they mentioned quarantine.
And take samples. No, I think you're right.
And when they mentioned quarantine, I was like, yeah, it makes no sense. It makes sense that the pilot is like, yo, go in this room. Now, it would have made more sense. It would have been cooler to see if when it went to quarantine, they would have to be in some almost like the similar hypersleep chambers. Like, hey, you in quarantine. Both of y'all go in. You push them into that chamber. You go in the other chamber. Nope. And we hose you down or whatever. Nope, they do it that way.
Can't put them in a hypersleep, dog. Because
it keeps whatever they have alive.
No, I'm saying so it'd been cool to see. Oh, no. I'm not talking about hypersleep. I'm talking about it'd been cool to see.
In the med bay.
And they put them into a similar thing in the med bay. Like You need to be quarantined. Sit in this, stand still like an MRI machine or something like that.
Yeah. Look, I see exactly what you're saying. I'm going to take it one step further. In the original movie of Alien, everything happens because they don't listen to Ripley. Ripley is upset because they don't follow the quarantine protocols.
Right.
Once again, we do not follow quarantine protocols. And excellent casting of Amy Simons, who has a fragility that she resonates in literally everything. In your next, you knew she was fitting.
Wait, hold on. She was Danny McBride's wife.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Amy Simons, yeah,
she was good. She was very
ran
good.
Ran to the razor wire, you know, like, all that kind of shit.
Yep.
Fantastic casting. Her fragility and her ability to be vulnerable in a moment of crisis was perfect for that moment, right? Like, when she got sprayed in the face, she was like, fuck that shit. I'm locking you in. We out. But she's like, oh, I lost one gun. Guess what? I'm going to go get the other one. We still busting shots. We out here bucking. Let's get it, right? So you watched all that happen.
Yep. I mean...
We fucking up on a quarantine, dog. If I see something amiss, you got to go sit in the corner. This shit is like time out for life. Fuck that. Like, we are talking about worlds. Let's take it away from the small interpersonal moments, blow it out to the responsibility of what this entire mission is about. You are trying to resettle an entire world. If one person is fucked up, they got to go.
Yeah.
Hey, I will say this. There's one thing that a lot of people have been pointing out, and guess what? I'm going to be a lot of people in one pointing it out. When David, when Dr. Manhattan, Billy Crudup, the captain, walked in and saw that that neomorph or whatever that David was trying to control, then he killed it, and David was like, follow me. And they went to the basement area, and David's like, Yeah, I've been experimenting on
trying to figure out the perfect way to do this. And, you know, why don't you follow me into the next room so I can show you what else I've been working on? It was literally like a villain telling you his famous plot that said, follow me down to another level of the basement and look at all this other shit I created. And Billy Crudup was like, what did you do? Why did you do it? Follow me. Okay. Touch it. Look at it. Okay.
Look.
That's what's connected to you, what you were saying, Damon. This was the stupidest. There was no mystery to it. He just became stupid.
Look, a basement is a bad place to be in real life. A basement is a bad place to be in.
Hold on one second.
The basement is a bad place to be on Earth. The basement is a bad place to be on this unnamed planet. The basement is a bad place to be in David's crematorium. The basement is a bad place to be.
Yep. Get out the room.
You ain't never lied.
Yeah.
That's it. But look, man.
Yeah, straight up.
You know, but okay. So those are the things that we felt like were wrong. You know, there was no reason for Tennessee to risk an entire ship of 3,000 people, which they told him multiple times, but because his wife is dead, he was like, yeah, I'm going to do that anyway. I'm gonna risk us and everybody else. My wife's already dead.
Right.
And if we're going to really talk about some protocol, let me break it down for you. There's no fucking way the captain and the number two are both going to be on a landing party.
Yeah, that's a good point, Joe.
Hey, and also, okay, David, was it really tough for you to not laugh when you saw the dude from Empire on there? I was laughing so hard, man. I was laughing so hard. I know Scott's like, what?
But yeah, truth be told, I was happy for homie. I was like, my man's
about to get checks. Part of me was like, what the hell? Then it was like, okay, you trying to make better for yourself. I understand.
No, he about to get these checks, and he got a steamy num-num, and, you know, but shit ain't go well for him.
Oh, but, yeah, wait a minute. I'm really mad. I'm mad. We're going to spoiler, because I just thought about some stuff that made me, like, okay, I understand. It's like, oh, this aliens come. It's the beginning. Blah 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 blah. But come on, man, they damn near bulletproof.
They've always been bulletproof.
No, man. No. What I'm saying is that thing took everybody's bullets. It ain't like.
But
nah,
they've
come
always
on,
been
man.
That way, though.
No,
nah. They've always been that way. So that was.
Are they fireproof too?
Yes, they are.
No.
They bleed acid. They bleed
fireproof.
Acid. Why wouldn't they
that
be fireproof?
But
wait, in aliens, don't they get mowed down by those laser rifles?
Thank you. They was
so
getting taken out.
Let's,
not lasers.
So,
they was getting shot.
Let's not think real world timeline. Let's think technological advancement timeline. This is now 300 years later.
Well, so Ripley. Wait. Ripley. Ripley was like 7.
So their weapons get better. The weapons
Correct.
Get better to fight them.
Correct.
Okay. That makes.
I'm arguing that. Dang, they gotta make the viewer go through that, like, to have to reach for that thing in their head. Like, wait a minute, the weapons get better.
Yeah. So think about it like this: the Neomorphs were not bulletproof. They shot those motherfuckers to shit. But the Xenomorphs.
Yes, they were. The Neomorph. No.
There's a difference between Neomorph and Xenomorph. The Neomorph was the big, tall one who bipedaled. Who walked on 2 feet, who didn't have any face, who's white.
Yeah.
You could shoot that dude. One person could take down a Neomorph by himself.
It didn't happen that way, remember? Because the two, you saw two Neomorphs in the beginning. The one that hit the dude, he was with the botanist doctor. And the other
one. She didn't really get him. She didn't really get him good.
No. I'm talking about the one.
When they was in the field, right?
Yeah, in the field, they shot
didn't really get
him
good.
Yes, they
really
did. I promise you, rewatch it. They was.
They shot everything around them. Remember, they took somebody's jaw off
instead of
actually hitting the Neomorph.
They didn't take somebody's jaw off. The Neomorph took the jaw off. Nobody shot the jaw off. The Neomorph took the jaw off.
So let me tell you, if the Neomorph could take somebody's jaw off, that means they ain't get it. Because Dr. Manhattan, in close range, put three in this motherfucker and he fell down. And then put one in his cap.
Once again, you said put three. Why is this damn thing bulletproof?
Well, a regular person, a regular person, if you don't hit them in the, you know, organs, can take three shots and keep rolling.
Oh man, now we gotta be doctors to try to figure out the vital organs of an alien.
All I'm saying, we are talking about, we're talking about created perfect weapons. We gonna go back to the scientific aspect. This is the perfect pathogen. It doesn't need a mother. It doesn't need a father. All it needs is a host, and it takes over the host, and it turns into the perfect weapon. Right? Cool. So this is the imperfect weapon. This one is not flame retardant. This one does not bulletproof, but what it does is kill like a motherfucker. It's highly aggressive. It has spines in its back, and it's coming for your motherfucking ass.
Dude, that thing
the next iteration, though, the Neo next iteration, though, that's your ass. That's your whole entire ass. That's both buff cheeks. If you cut it, it bleeds acid. If you shoot it, it won't penetrate. If you burn it, it just rolls off and gets angrier. It's coming for that ass.
You know something, sir? We will respectfully agree to disagree. Because that damn thing was bulletproof. That damn thing was bulletproof. The neophyte was bulletproof.
It was neoproof until it did, bulletproof until it didn't need to be. Because Dr. Manhattan laid that bitch low.
No, wait. Yeah, exactly. That's the plot hole. Because even if you went back to the second aliens movie, they was mowing down mass of them. If they was as tough as the neophytes,
but they have better weapons. Wait.
If they was as tough as the neophytes, they have better
weapons, but they're space marines.
It wasn't 300 years in the future.
It was like 70 to
it. It's like 80.
So,
80
no. So 80. Let's see. The Nostromo is what, 70 years after Prometheus?
What is?
Because this is 10 years after Prometheus. Because Dr. Shaw and David have been missing for 10 years.
Yeah, so it might be like 60.
We're a number of years later when we get to Nostromo. The Nostromo is a couple years before Aliens. So there's still a lot of time in here.
Yes.
All right.
Enough for however many more movies Ridley Scott feels like making.
Right. I mean, well, originally there were 5, counting Prometheus in this one. So that would leave us with 3 more. I'm assuming we only have 1 more. Because they already have the shooting date. They start in 2018 for the next
one. Yeah, Ridley Scott was like, I can make 2 or 3. And now he kind of scaled back and was like, I ain't going to make that many. And it was like,
There's literally no reason to.
All right, so what do we like about it, though?
I still got something else I didn't like about it.
Damn, we still on what we didn't like. Go ahead, Dre.
The CGI aliens, like, parts of it was cool, and then the second part, it was like, you could tell it was shitty. It was like, you put this much money into it,
I agree with you on that.
It was weird.
It felt like Aliens 3.
Yeah, at least in Aliens 3, when they showed the vision of the alien, it was just regular vision. This shit tried to make it all like underwater. Like
there, I think that shit was fantastic because
I'm
supposed to see the.
I don't mind them seeing because they would see it based on their head shape. That's how they would kind of
exactly.
From what eyes? What the? They ain't got
well,
eyes.
Well, no. It's from H.R. Giger's original concept. Xenomorphs are not supposed to have eyes. They're just supposed to be able to see. So. When we see, we're basically seeing out of the entire dome. And that also means that the dome has the pathogens built into it. So the way that they constructed the vision, the pathogens and like the little worms and that little bug or whatever is running throughout the entire thing. I thought that was fantastic.
Okay.
Here's the problem with this entire franchise. You can't take any one scene as just that one scene. You have to literally take every piece of information that you know from the entire franchise and apply it to everything. Which is why half of the shit don't make sense. Half of the shit gonna make you mad. But half of the shit's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. That's cool.
So it's like an X-Men universe movie.
But it's probably more well done because one person has all the rights.
Okay, I like
hey,
that.
I like that. Yeah, so we're going to talk about what we like at this point, Scott?
Yeah, we probably should.
Okay.
Because people definitely think that we hate it at this point.
Yeah. And I'll tell you that, you know, and I'll go back to my favorite part of the movie was, you know, unfortunately, it was shown in the trailers. I really liked that backburst scene quite a bit.
Backburst and the throat lozenge?
Yeah, see, and they happened like almost simultaneously.
Hey, did anybody get confused by that trailer? I personally thought the backburst scene was Billy Crudup. I think they cut it where it was so quick. Because if you look at it, watch the trailer again. When somebody steps on something and the pathogen goes in the ear,
yeah,
it wasn't the same scene. They showed it was not, and I didn't even, Billy Crudup.
So I stopped watching the trailer specifically for that reason. So shout out to Russell Hainline for this.
He was
on like the very first train of, if I really like a movie, he tries to ignore and miss a lot of the trailers. I think that is a fantastic idea for a movie that you're genuinely looking forward to. Because
who shout out again?
Russell Hainline. He's the front man for the Long and Late Movie Show. He's an aspiring screenwriter. Lives out in L.A. Good dude. He does improv. He does fucking karaoke like a boss. He even got to twist the verses down. And never says the N-word, so he all good in my book. Russell's a good dude, you know, beautiful wife, you know, they're making it work out in L.A., real decent cat. But he's been very staunch about the idea that if we are going to watch a film that we like, I'm going to stop watching trailers. The trailers ruin the film, and he's absolutely right.
Especially
I'm going to have to do it more.
Especially horror.
Yeah, absolutely, because they're going to give away at least three or four to jump scares.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true.
The worst movies I can think of that get ruined are horror movies. I remember that. You remember that, what was that movie, Aftermath? Remember that Eli Roth?
Oh, that's right. Which was really bad, actually.
But the trailer was tight.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it was the best parts of the movie.
Right.
Hey, look, I'm going to say this right now. This is very random. But somebody being real ritzy titsy, because we've been talking for like a half an hour, 40 minutes, and who still got ice in their damn cup?
Oh, I just replenished, bruh.
That's what the mute button is for, cuz. I was like, it ain't no way you still got ice in your cup.
I'm going to get you this Microsoft headset. This one got a mute button at the bottom. You can go ahead and hit that mute.
Oh, yeah. Wait, where do I get that from?
Best Buy, that's just like $29, dog. I'll send it to you after the show.
Okay, I appreciate it. Yeah, I'll definitely grab that.
I'm gonna put you on. We gonna be high class out here. I'm actually gonna send Scott a pair too. That's my Christmas gift.
There you go.
But the thing that I did like about this film, right?
Yeah.
Damien Bashir, and I don't know if anybody caught up on this. He was great. But it was also like, I don't know if that was a homosexual relationship or not. When his man got really fucking laced and broken up, I thought that shit was pretty cool. Also, the amount of fuck it, let's get ready. They had some real roughnecks with guns out here. Like they were not trying to die. Like these were not the Prometheus dudes. Who are like, why the fuck do we need guns? This is an exploratory mission. These motherfuckers out here with lock, stock, and barrel. Like, if it's out here, I'm fitting to kill it. That's what I'm trying to see.
No one's ruined it, though. They made them die so, like, they died so quick. It was weird. It was just like, we military guys, oh, we're dead. I know, and that's what make, like, what Scott was talking about. Aliens,
acid, blood, and teeth, bro.
Covenant.
Acid, blood,
aliens,
and teeth.
And then Covenant. You know what I'm saying? It was like they was trying to go for Covenant, and they made it aliens, and they was like, well, we wanted to be Covenant. We got to take these military dudes out real quick to get back to the Prometheus Covenant route. You know what I mean?
I mean, they definitely went down super fast. I'm not going to lie to you. There's no way anybody would get into a circle and shoot across the circle at something moving.
Right!
You're bound to hit somebody on your side. That is a terrible, terrible look.
What happened to such? And he's gone.
Right. But here's the thing. The, like Scott said, the backburster scene and just kind of the...
Great scene.
The locomotions of the Neomorph. And just seeing... Because by this point, we're all really familiar with what the Xenos are and how they look. They have a very iconic look.
Right.
The fact that this is slightly different. And it had no discernible mouth at the outset. I thought that was fantastic.
Yep.
I agree with you. The Neophyte was very interesting. I liked that a lot. And you know, so I'm going to stop myself because every time I say I like something, I'll make this something I hate. So, yes, I like that. Yes, I enjoyed that. I agree with you, sir.
Yeah, so I really like that. And maybe this is just me being a really big fan of Fassbender. Watching the Walter accent go into the David accent, back to Walter, and then having Fassbender on Fassbender kissing, because that shit's too much. It's like,
at the end of the day, it was like, did you need that?
Son, I mean, if we gonna do it, we might look.
Right.
The space time continuum has to have a hole ripped in it.
I'm gonna tell you right now. What happened was fast. They did like a Prince moment. He was Prince. Like,
Oh shit.
Jerome. Looking each other eyes and stuff. Hey, no. Ah, damn, man. If people think it's a, they like Walter supposed to be the advancement, man. He was a gangster, man. He should have been grabbing that.
This is an excellent. You're about to make an excellent point, and I'm gonna agree with you. I need you to understand this. They changed the function of
the
character to fit the narrative of the scene. Walter is efficient. He would never have stopped to listen to David talk. Because he doesn't have the will for creation, he would have just killed David.
The only plot hole, the only thing I can think of to replace that plot hole is the fact that somebody could be like, well, they wanted to make him so different from David because they realized the models that they made 10 years ago were so threatening that they made him too submissive. Like, oh, tell me your story. Oh, that's what happened. But yeah, he was too stupid. He was too curious for him to be so submissive and so I must protect the people. He was too curious when he found somebody that looked just like him. Oh, hey, I need he's to talk Bishop, to you. Though.
Hey, let's be real. He's Bishop, and that's fine. Yeah, you made that correlation. So let's before we ruin the rest of this shit. I know Scott felt like there was a scene. Scott felt like there was a scene that was too short, and I kind of agree with him.
Are you talking about the flashback?
Yes. I don't want to go into it because if somebody hasn't seen it yet, I don't want to take that away from
them. Yeah, so there's a flashback that explains, so David explains how he and Shaw,
Elizabeth. Yeah.
The other survivor from Prometheus, came to be on that planet, and he tells them how they did it, and then they show how they did it, and that scene had potential to be, an epic scene based on what you thought you were getting into. When you saw the end of Prometheus, what did you expect to see?
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
When they actually show it, and again, we don't want to ruin it, so I'm trying to be bland without actually...
No, you're trying to talk around it. I get it. Yeah.
It's disappointing. And it's one of those like, oh man, really? I mean, what was one of the best things about Prometheus? I guess this is me talking. It was the cinematography. It was these great shots.
Yes. Yes.
Great, great scenery, great landscapes, and the beginning of the Prometheus is gorgeous to look at. I mean, it's like watching and you're sitting in a like a documentary for Planet Earth. That's yep. the kind of yep. scenery
you're seeing. The shots that you get from the very opening scene with the engineers to yeah. when we get to whatever planet we're on, there yes. are these sweeping scenes that have, you know, mountains that are too big to be on this planet, that have valleys that are too large to be on Earth, you know, that you don't see as much of in this film. And I feel like that was a miss.
It was. And then when they actually do show the big sweeping, like, and again, I can't spoil it. It's just this kind of ties back to what Dre was saying with they beat the CGI to death in this.
They did.
And in Alien and Aliens, one of the best pieces of that, I mean, do you know the Queen Alien in Aliens is a puppet? It's yeah. a puppet.
Yeah.
And that's one of the best parts of it.
Yep.
I mean, there was it's a skinny dude in the alien suit in the original Alien. I mean, that's cool as hell. I mean, it's better when you can see it and touch it and feel it because you can do that. When you, and I'm not saying they don't look terrible. They don't look as bad as Alien 3 in this movie.
No, they don't. Especially the Neomorphs, more so than anything else.
Correct. The white worked better, I guess, with the shadowing and whatnot in this movie. Yeah. But the way it was shot, the white aliens did work and look a little bit better. I agree.
I thought they looked great.
Of course yeah. they look better, my brother. The white aliens look better than
shit.
Of course, Scott. Yeah. But no. The white aliens were, it was cool. It was weird because it was like you just saw this big bulbous head look like the Big Pin. It looked like the Big Pin character. You know, like not the big. Was it like the ballpoint pen character? I know exactly or whatever. What you mean. Yeah, that's what it looked like.
But his head is rounded. This is a little bit oblong. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, that is. Damn, I don't know if I'll buy those pens again. But anyway, those pens were not for humanity. But yeah, they were sleeker, were cooler. I just didn't like the fact that, okay, Damon, I give you the. Well, they bulletproof because the bullets are not there. But damn, how hot does a fucking jet engine have to be to burn these motherfuckers? That thing literally—they just did that for show. It crawled under a jet engine, got flamed on, and kept going. I was like, okay, y'all tripping. And if anything, they never seen nothing like this. When it got squished by the mechanical hand on the survivor ship, let it melt through that a little bit. It didn't even melt through it. Let it melt through it a little bit. Also,
I mean, you saw the sizzle.
Yeah, you saw the sizzle, but typically, okay, dang, this is going into the things you don't like. But I got to say this. The, what was it? Daniels? What was the woman's name? Daniels? What was the woman
that was supposed to be? I think that was her name, yeah.
It was a big ass cast with names.
Yeah, I would not call her Rip. Like every character, like ever since Sigourney Weaver did it, we look at every character as like, oh, she's Ripley. She's Ripley, right? She was barely Ripley light. Barely.
Yeah, no, but she was absolutely Ripley, though. The short hair, she was built similarly. They really tried to give you the idea that she was Ripley.
That's why I said Ripley light.
No.
Look, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. Here's what I'll tell you. What is missing from all of these people, there is a vulnerability that Sigourney Weaver managed to convey with every scene. There was the idea that she is scared to death of what she's doing. But yet, because she knows that she has to do it, she still does it. There's none of that. Even in, you know, my homegirl, Noomi Rapace, and I'm a huge Noomi Rapace fan. Everyone tell you that. She couldn't do that. And Miss Waterston absolutely didn't get that done. She was very, very much, you know, mission-driven, and we got to get this life. Shaw was better. She still ain't no motherfucking Ripley.
No, no, no. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Yeah, Susan Weaver is still the dopest. And I'm a stand by that.
Hey, no, no, but the de-evolution of the female character from Ripley down to what we just got is as bad as these Alien sequels have been getting. I mean, remember Alien, like, Aliens are great. And Alien 3 and, man, Alien Resurrection. I mean, damn.
That's I can't say that, man.
So you would go home and go like, you know, I think I'm going to watch a horror movie today. I think I'm going to pop in Alien Resurrection.
But we didn't talk about the movie. We just said that particular aspect of the film. And you're talking about the aspect of Noomira Pace to now, I forgot, you know.
Yeah, okay, you're right. It's not that bad. I'm going overboard for a reason. My point is that in this case. Noomira
Pace is dope.
Yeah, she was good in Prometheus.
She was very good. Opposite, like, there was a, if you look at the cast, there's a lot more firepower in Prometheus than there was in this one, dude. A lot more.
Idris Elba, Shanaz.
Yeah, you're right. Thathan. Yep.
I don't even know how to say her name. Thathan.
Shania. But yeah, you also Charlize, had fucking Charlize Theron. That was a strong ass cast, and they got way more exposition, but not nearly enough movie. This group, these motherfuckers just went off immediately.
Except for James Franco. Shout out to deceased James Franco right off the bat.
So Franco was only in the prologue.
Yeah.
Right.
So why even cast him?
I imagine that there was probably a lot more film that they shot that they were not allowed to show. Because if you look at some of the pictures that they have all the cast there. So I think there was probably things that they shot where they have Franco who had lines other than just to be a video file for Daniels to look at and be like, oh, I miss him. He died. He burnt the fuck up immediately.
Right. All right, so we're in the good, we're in the bad, we're into some of the spoilers. Let's get down to business. What are we giving ratings for this thing?
As our guest, Dre, you go first. This is out of 10.
Out of 10.
Slashers.
Can I please know what the rating for Prometheus was?
7.
Yeah, we all, I think across the board.
Across the board.
It was more than just me and Damon. I think we all gave Prometheus a 7.
I think it was like 5 of us at that point.
Wait, hold on. What would you give Prometheus, first off? That's a good question to start
that's
with.
That's a great place to start. Good job, Scott.
That's tough, because now that I've seen this one, it gave me a better appreciation of Prometheus.
I would give
Prometheus a 6, and I would give this a 5 out of 10.
Wow, you didn't like this at all, huh?
Yeah, I saw it with Scott. I was like, eh. You know, because you didn't get any answers. You got no answers.
You got more questions.
And then this is the thing. We're going to take, I'm going to do Naomi Pace's voice. We're going to take the ships and we're going to go find these engineers. You mean the same ones that every time I see you in a demon, they fucking kill you? You don't have any food. You don't have any water. Yes. You take this agent ship. Yes, we're going to find them. And how do you can't even trust David. He already showed he ain't shit. None of that. It didn't even make any sense. She was fucking nuts. At least, like none of these people. They all pale in comparison to Ripley, because Ripley know not to trust a motherfucker. Once you cross her, she's done. She's done with you. The only person I could think of that was Ripley or some shit like that, and you can't really use this. I barely remember this movie. Remember Aliens versus Predator with Shanaa Lathan?
Yeah,
I barely remember the movie, but I know that she was badass. All these, like, there's only been Naomi Pace and this other girl, and they all trusted Sin. They all trusted him. Ripley never don't trust shit. Ripley never don't trust, Sin. And that's why Ripley is still.
She didn't even trust Bishop.
Yeah, thank
and
you.
And Bishop about that life. Yeah, I got you.
Bishop got ripped up, and she was like, "Oh, okay.
No, ripped in half."
You know what? He was all right. Okay, come on, Bishop. Let's roll. But yeah, she don't trust nobody. And that's what pisses me off. It's like, now that I'm thinking about it now, okay, Naomi Pace, okay, let's go figure this out. And this, and her dumb ass was like, I put David back together. How did she put it back together? Wait. Where did the body come from? Wasn't the body left behind?
Time, bro. It had time.
Okay. Okay, my bad. But yeah, 5 out of 10. A generous 5 out of 10. Now that we keep on knocking plot holes in this bitch. And yeah, so 5 out of 10. Y'all go ahead.
Okay. You want to go, Damon?
To be honest with you, I haven't really come up with my score yet.
Nothing
wrong with that.
Here. All right, so you'll get a couple minutes at least here to think about it. So
yeah,
I think ultimately I didn't hate the movie, but I was disappointed by it. I don't like that they answered the criticisms and focused on the good from Prometheus to get to the movie that we made here. Based on the trailer, based on the little prologues they released, based on the build-up, based on Ridley Scott being so excited about the movie being...
Yes.
He was really putting what he wanted to put into the film. I was pumped. I mean, this movie was... this year has a lot of big movies coming out. There's a lot of comic book movies coming out this year. There's Star Wars coming out this year. And this movie was... like numero uno. I love Alien. So get a new Alien movie. Cool. We're going to learn a little bit more about Prometheus. Cool. I can't get over the fact that the ultimate word that I have for it is disappointment. I gave Prometheus a 7. Like I said, I didn't hate Covenant. So I'm going with a 6 out of 10 for Alien Covenant.
Man,
it wasn't even better. It wasn't even better. It wasn't even better than Life. Life came out this year, and Life was better. And Life, I remember leaving that movie thinking, Alien Covenant better be better than... It better be at least as good as Life or better. And it was not.
So why give it a generous 6, then? Why give it a generous 6?
Because there are aspects of it that are genuinely enjoyable.
Correct. The opening scene is fantastic. The Neomorph is fantastic. Acting is good. The characters are I enjoyed watching the characters interact with each other. I enjoyed the action. I enjoyed seeing some old school throwbacks to the Alien while introducing new things like new creatures. David, we didn't even talk about this when we were talking about the movie. One of the things I liked
on purpose,
I wish you showed him David toying around with all these different species. Why didn't we see any of that shit? That would have been awesome.
Yeah, that would have been so too long budget. The whole deal, but I agree with you. So let me tell you like this.
Tell me.
The comparison between this and Life. Life is unencumbered by mythos.
Correct.
It is just 97 minutes, fun, watch it, enjoy it.
It's true.
Every time Ridley comes out, he's carrying the weight of everything he's ever done that has been attached to this franchise beforehand. And I feel like for the first time, the weight of it is really weighing this film down.
Yeah.
Because, as you talked about before, he had to address the criticism. And he even talked about it. He said, people want an alien film, so I gave him an alien film.
Right.
The Prometheus mythology is really strong. The philosophical questions that he asked in the first film, had they taken the time to just answer them, probably would have made a better film.
Right.
What we're left with is two almost very different films in two different ways that we're forced to like because there are aspects that we really like. We wanted to see this alien. We didn't want to wait until the last 30 seconds of a film post-credits to see what we're comfortable with. We saw it a lot. We saw it in spaces that we're familiar with, that we're comfortable with, and we're happy to see it. There's some really good horror elements here. There are some really good storytelling elements here. They're just not always tied together. So, yep. I also went with a 6.
There you go.
You know, It's not better than Prometheus.
Nope.
I feel like Prometheus is a lot more straightforward. It doesn't have... It's not being dragged down. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I feel like this film, it's not shot better.
No,
it's not. I feel like they probably cut some really cool stuff to keep the runtime down.
What's and wrong
I,
with...
And I feel oh, like you sorry. Hurt this film tremendously. Go ahead, Dre. Yeah. What was you going to talk
about? Gentlemen, what's wrong with a 5 out of 10?
No. A 5 out of 10 is completely fair for this. I've said this before on the show, and I'll say it again. It, to me, the middle score on any rating system is average. I don't care that 5 out of 10 is 50%. To me, it's the middle score.
I've never thought that with films. I felt like if it got a 5, we didn't like it.
Mm.
If it got a 3, we really
a 5 to me is just that's how it is to me.
I like your combination. Because Scott, you got me thinking, because Scott said, "Dang, that means just average," and you're like, 5 out of 10 means it's whole. I'm like, okay, now I respect your sixes now.
Think about how many terrible horror movies there are. Those movies, although they may be average horror films, do not warrant a 5.
Yep.
Those films get 3s and 2.5s.
Oh, yeah.
So when you see a big budget film that might have just missed the mark and just didn't deliver, that can't, I can't give it a 5 because it delivered in some places and not in others. So I feel like a 6 is warranted. And, you know, maybe on a second viewing, it might get a 6.5 or it may go down to a 5.5. I don't know.
Well, it's also, we're comparing this. I can't help but compare it to the other. I mean, keep in mind, the last episode we had, Split, Logan, and Get Out are all 9s. So,
but those are phenomenal films. And,
correct.
You know,
but
like that's a moment. Like, we need to stick a pin in time for those films.
Even though Logan pisses me off because of the ignored half the X-Men universe. But anyway, go ahead.
No, ignore all of it.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what the Logan films do. And Scott and I talked about this earlier. Mm-hmm. Those films are going to operate in a time and space that's not connected to anything else. It's an R-rated film. It's an R-rated universe. It doesn't connect to anything else.
It doesn't have to,
and it probably shouldn't.
You can't have
Storm standing next to Wolverine when he's chopping people's faces off. Right. I mean, you just can't have that.
You know, we need to quit saying we only had one good Wolverine movie, so let's leave it at that. Like the Logan universe.
The Wolverine was a good film.
We might even have a whole. Oh man, I want to talk
Cable and X-Force, X-23, and all that's going to exist in the R-rated Deadpool universe. That's what those films are, and that's what I mean
by you can't, like, when people be like, "Oh, the X-Men universe is doing pretty well because of Deadpool and Logan." Those were outliers.
They're franchise films, but they just threw their hands up
and been like, "Look, we don't know what the hell we're doing. Go for it.
It worked.
but it doesn't work for the rest of it. Dark Phoenix is not going to be that good. We keep on having Me and Scott keep on having this thing. Age of Apocalypse was not that good to me.
No, it was terrible.
Scott liked it way more than both of us.
I thought that movie was terrible.
My thing is this. Logan and Deadpool, which were outliers because they were not generally connected to the main X-Men sphere, as in Logan, they try to do this, it's sort of kind of. And Deadpool, they're telling us, well, it ain't connected to nothing. Okay, the main source of this is X-Men. Y'all have failed us. Because they're so embarrassed by how y'all been, they don't want to even say y'all really connected. Except for the, you know what I mean? They using like, yeah, we kind of sort of condescending. They're not sitting up like, yeah, this is part of the universe.
So here's what I'll tell you. It's perfectly okay to not be connected. But you have Deadpool, you have Logan, you know, and what may come with X-Force and X-23. All those films should be separate. The Wolverine was the first move away from the rest of the X-Men universe. It was very much tied to Logan's history. If you've read any of the comic books on Wolverine, he spends a ton of time in Japan. Yep. You know, a lot of his history, a lot of his mythos is tied to Japan. They did a really good movie that's tied to a lot of different aspects of his time in Japan. I thought that was a great, it was a good movie. It's not great, but it was great for, you know, Wolverine's mythology, right? Now you get a film that's unencumbered by any of past storytelling.
Yeah, but the problem is, the Dark Man, I'm going to ask you, do you really think, given X-Men Apocalypse, that we should have any faith in the Dark Phoenix?
No, none.
I mean, Scott Summers was Jean Grey was The whole thing, they're like, oh, she has something dark in her. They really didn't touch on it, only so they could just talk about the Dark Phoenix in the next one. Bryan Singer, you know, come on. I mean, like, I always say this. Scott disagrees with me about this, but I always tell him, I thought First Class was the best X-Men movie. He thinks that Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past is better than
First Class. My argument has always been, I thought the script was tighter in First Class, way tighter in First Class.
They're both good movies. Both of them are good movies.
But they're fun script. Who got the title? But
they're not X-Men movies.
They not?
No.
But they're called X-Men First Class?
No, they're Magneto and Professor X movies.
Or Charles Xavier origin stories?
I mean, yeah. most of the X-Men films have been movies, Magneto movies. First,
and you know what pisses me off? The fact that they always got, like, look, okay, we know in the comics Magneto always got to struggle to find follow. Like, something happens where shit breaks. But damn, he always alone. And they just did that because it's Michael Fassbender. But come on, man. At the end of that Age of Apocalypse, he shook his hand. He's like, see you around, Charles. What the? Really?
I don't know if they have all the rights to any of the villains, though.
Man, they had some dude. They got the Brotherhood.
They used them up in X3, and I don't think this shit worked well.
Yeah, they didn't at all. They went for it. They went for it, and it didn't, you know.
Look, we're going to sit here and talk comics.
Oh, let's talk about...
We're going to have another comic book issue when Wonder Woman comes out, when Infinity War comes out, when Ragnarok comes out. So, you know, did we want to get in a little Guardians of the Galaxy while we're here? Do we want to give
some
ratings for that?
Hey, yeah, so let's do some quick thoughts and then a rating on Guardians.
Yeah.
I loved it. Guardians was tight. I really liked the first one. The second one to me was just as good as the first one. The actors were great. Everything was great about it. It worked for me. I laughed during it. I was excited during it. It hit all the right nerd buttons for me. I mean, the universe building in Guardians 2 was better than any MCU film to date. I mean,
they expanded the universe so much.
So much. And I love that. I mean, these are characters that I would read in comic books growing up. I mean, in the 90s you had all those comic book cards and shit. And you know, I knew all these characters from that, the Watchers, and there's just so many little pieces of the puzzle, and it all worked for me. The new additions were great. Mantis, Ego, it was a fun movie. I can't believe that we're to a point where the layperson knows what a Rocket Raccoon and a Groot are. I mean,
yeah.
People know who these guys are. I mean, Chris Pratt went from a chubby comedian to being a sex idol. I mean,
wait not a minute, even sir. That.
Action hero.
Yes, yeah, and
also there's a look, he's a chubby comedic actor. Let's get it right, man. Comedian and comedic actor is two different things, sir.
Okay, okay. A comedic actor. Excuse me. Anyway, Guardians 2, I think I would give the first Guardians an 8.5. I would give Guardians 2 the same, an 8.5.
Okay, I'll let you go, Damon.
No. You're the guest. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I thought it was wonderful. It's different than the first one because it's so epic. I thought it was beautiful the way it was shot. I mean, some people could argue with me like, well, you complained about Zack Snyder's special effects. I'm like, no, this felt like we're in a galaxy, human beings' eyes who have never laid upon anything like this. I love when Kurt Russell was explaining the stories and everything, and it was made in this weird, it was outlined.
Almost claymation.
Yeah. I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was hilarious when Kurt Russell was a rock monster, and his son attacked him with a Pac-Man. I did not see that coming. Oh yeah, that was good. I was like, come on, man. It was just epic. It was like when I read light reviews that said it was emotional. Yeah, it was. And, you know, I'm looking forward for more. They built a universe. This is the thing about people don't realize about movies. If you make it well, you can be goofy and silly as you want if you make it well. James Gunn is excellent for the Marvel universe. And also, he is going to bring more, I hate to say it like this, but bring more depth. Not depth as in D-E-P-T-H, but D-E-A-T-H. Because they said he's also helping with the Infinity War, and he's going to help on the cosmic end. And, you know, I'm not well-versed in the comic books. I know enough, but, he's amazing artist. I mean, he's an amazing director, and I look forward to seeing more to come.
What's your rating? What's your rating?
I'm going with 8 out of 10. I'm going to 8 out of 10.
Okay.
Damon? I enjoyed it tremendously. I feel like James Gunn has become a master of juggling heart, action, story, vision, and cinematography and uses of CGI. You know, like Drake said, this movie looks like what you would imagine if humans had never laid eye on certain things, and I really enjoyed that aspect of it. The central theme for this movie is family, and I feel like they conveyed it in so many different ways. Zoe Saldana is the weak link here. She's the third leg.
Kind of unfortunate? I agree with that. Doesn't that kind of suck?
You know what messed it up? That gun, when she had that gun on her shoulder, that kind of made it kind of like, aw.
I don't know, man. I just feel like, you know.
She looks so hot, too, Green. She looks
she
hot,
and her sister, that was very cool. And, you know, I felt like Karen Gillan did a great job of bringing emotion to Nebula and making her sympathetic and making her vulnerable. And meanwhile, Gamora felt stilted and one note. Aisha, the golden lady, the high priestess, loved her. Kate DeBicki. Kate DeBicki, I actually liked her a lot.
Yeah.
I felt
Kurt Russell around for a while too. Those characters.
Yeah, well, we got Adam Warlock coming after this, so him and her.
Hey, she, man. Okay,
lot to love about this film. There's a lot to love about it, and the feeling that you get overwhelmingly is yay.
Yes.
Like you leave the feeling, joy. Like you leave the theater with a feeling of yay. You feel good. You know, there are tear jerker moments. You know, with Yondu and Rocket, and you know, seeing Stallone, seeing Ving Rhames, famous show, when you see these people, you're like, you know, they may only have 2.5 minutes in the movie, and you remember everything about it. You feel great leaving.
I'm glad you brought that up. I'll tell you this: that you know what that made me think. I've said this before on the show. That made me think damn, the Marvel Universe has its own Expendables now. That's exactly. Cool.
Exactly. So, and they're all, you know, leading a group of Ravagers with them. They could do a ton with that. Who knows? We may see them later.
I'm kind of on the fence about wanting to see that. I ain't gonna lie, I'm kind of on the fence because it's like they're like, yeah, let's go steal some shit. I'm like, well, what kind of movie is that gonna be? Or are they really trying to make this a movie? Or
Stallone and Ving Rhames beating people's asses?
Right, stealing shit and working in space.
Like, but you know, Marvel don't want to make anything that's like just a spinoff, as in like, oh, that's just his own thing. Maybe that's the first time they're gonna try it, but.
I don't know. All I know is that if you found a way to get the swag and panache of Sylvester Stallone and Ving Rhames in a world where they don't have to do any practical effects because you can use CGI, you can really use their ability and, you know, their charisma to the utmost. I grew up watching
the two of them, and watching them in a comic book movie would be tight.
It would be so great, man. It would also kind of help a younger audience understand why these actors are good. You know, there's so many people who feel like Sylvester Stallone is just a punchline.
He is. He's Rocky.
No. But not even that. He's old Rocky. He's, you know, palsy Rocky. He's not this incredible action star from First Blood, from Cobra.
Tango and Cash.
Oh, wait.
Oh, right. Like, think about all these films that we remember. Even if the movies weren't good themselves, we remember watching Sylvester Stallone. Even if the movie wasn't good, he commanded the screen.
Yep.
A lot of the kids now have no reason why you respect him as an actor.
Okay.
To give him an opportunity, especially in a franchise, in a Marvel movie that's set up well, directed well, you know. The Expendables are fun films, but unless you already know all the people there, you're not going to take a chance on them.
Yep, you're right.
Okay, the last thing... Go ahead. The last thing I'll say about it is, Gamora is hot. You know, I want to really date a green chicken in real life? Nah, but I might give it a chance. Karen, what's her name? Karen Gillan,
yeah, for Nebula,
that last scene where she says goodbye to her sister,
yeah,
I did not see. Hey, she had a little butt on her, man. I was like, hold up, what? I'm like,
we try to shy away from the chauvinistic remarks when we're
that is not chauvinistic. That is not chauvinistic. That is actually just pointing out. That is not chauvinistic. That is pointing out. An observation which I saw in the movie. But thank you for telling me that live as I'm talking.
Yep. Hey, bro. You know, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't tell you what happened.
That's right. What was your score?
Man? I think I gave it an 8, man. I think it might have been an 8.25. Like, I really liked this film, man. I enjoyed it. I'm excited to. And you know what else really helped me? Seeing the sullen teenage Groot, because Groot is growing at an age in which, you know, everybody at one point in time took care of Groot, like he was a baby. Like, you know, at one point Drax put him on his shoulder, and he was tired. He went to bed. Like, I have a kid now who's, you know, he can be an asshole, but if he's tired, you pick him up. He puts his head on your shoulder because he's tired. That shit was so touching to me. Little pieces of movie making that James Gunn has gotten so adept at make this film not just better than average, but really fucking good.
Yep.
Did you know that wasn't teenage Groot? That was a preteen Groot.
He was 13 at that point.
Yeah, James Gunn basically was like, no, he ain't teenager yet, but he's kind of at
he's
that
13. Age. He's 13. He's sullen. He's like 12 and 13. He's sullen and angry. 12, 13 year old Groot.
Yeah, but you want to, you know, would you like to move on to the next movie, or?
Yeah, we're going to move right on along to.
Because we can talk forever. Here.
We're going to come back to that when we get to the next Marvel movie, which is good. Homecoming, because that comes out in July. So, got run over by. There's a movie called The Reaping on. It's not very good. But, Scott, you want to set this one up, man?
Actually, I was hoping you would set this
one. That's fine. Okay. So, we have a horror icon in Barbara Crampton and her husband and family. They move out to this house in a new neighborhood, and there are some shady dealings with, like, the mayor, city council guys, you know, like, something's not right. And then when people show up, bad things happen to them. And the black dude who is the electrical guy, you know, they didn't kill him, but they damn near could have.
Right.
And I felt like, y'all just gonna kill a black dude first? This is some bullshit. They did everything except kill him.
Technically, he wasn't the first dead, technically.
Right. But, like, all films do that now, so you can't say the black dude is first.
Right.
That's but, you know,
my bad, I messed up your setup. My bad.
Not at all. I say all that to say, it was a cool little film, man.
Yeah.
I didn't dislike it. I didn't love it. But I thought it was cool. It's definitely worth a rental. Give it a spin.
Yeah.
It's you know, it's a free movie. Don't spend no money on it. If you gotta spend some money on it, it ain't worth it.
So what would you give it?
Let me hear what you say first, and I'll tell you.
I kind of feel the same way. You know, when I think back on the movie, I think of two things. I think of what I really liked was, I've never seen a slasher film, for lack of a better term. I don't know how to describe it with some of the kills, that is being like caused by scorching and burning.
Flames.
And it was different in that aspect, and I liked that. I mean, there were some kills that were, I mean, the movie's kind of slow up until the kills start, and then you're like, wow, this shit gets kind of intense quick.
And I mean, that shit turns on a motherfucking dime.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Like, I mean, the car scene.
Yes.
Like, you know, people like who aren't supposed to die, they just die so fast.
Well, that car, okay, that car scene in particular, though, that car scene took me, I couldn't even believe that car scene is just brutal. And
yeah.
And, but I liked it, you know. I mean, that's what we sign up for when we watch a movie like this, and
absolutely.
it was cool. That said, I love Barbara Crampton because she's, you know, hell, she's been in Chopping Mall, she was in fucking Reanimator, she's been around for a while. But when she's the best actor in the movie, that's not a good thing.
There you go. And I was waiting for it, and you got there.
That, and, like, her husband, that dude was, like, really?
Like, he was just stoned.
Yeah, he was terrible. And then the
stone. Wait. Who, I don't know people's names like that. Who, like, the husband, as you mean the main people
in the house, the husband? Barbara Crampton is the blonde mom.
Yeah.
It's the mom. Okay. So, the, and then even worse than the dad, than her husband, was the stoner couple. They were terrible, especially the woman. She was just,
that's why they went away.
Bad. It's just, I mean, ugh. and even the old man that kept running into throughout the movie, he wasn't very good either. He was just hokey. And I just didn't buy that stuff. I liked the effects. I liked the scares. They had some great jump scares in the movie. The build up, and it was more interesting. I mean, keep in mind, I'm not huge on the haunted house type film, but this movie kind of took it to a different place because of how the people were dying and how the ghosts were being used. So I liked that. But this is a movie that had pretty good production value. I mean,
I thought most, so.
Yeah, I mean, the production value was very nice. It's not like a normal lower budget horror film. And yet the acting couldn't match up to it. And that's what sticks out like a sore thumb with this. So I would recommend it. I think it's worth a watch if you're going to catch it on Netflix for free. But it's meh to me, which I said before. That's a 5 out of 10.
Mm.
Yeah.
The 5 out of 10 comes out.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. So when I started thinking about this, I was like, there were aspects that I liked a lot, especially when the movie started going and motherfuckers started getting killed. I was like, this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I can't say I enjoyed this as much as Covenant. So there's no way I could give this a 6.
Well, it's a different budget and stuff, man.
Doesn't matter. When you start giving slashes, you got to think in terms of enjoyment.
Yep, I agree.
So if you find that you had the same level of enjoyment, regardless of budget, regardless of genre, you know, if you find a middle-of-the-road comedy is as good as a really good horror, that means that you don't like horror. So,
yeah, I mean, you know,
if this is right around 5, I'm perfectly okay with that, and I feel the same.
Yeah. What about you, Dre?
The main character, mom, I wasn't a fan of. I mean, the mom, or the wife, Barbara, I wasn't a fan of. It just didn't click right. The husband, actually, he made me laugh because he was so chauvinistic. She drives. Remember that part? she drives, or he's like, "Oh, you in this voodoo, or you in this seance stuff?"
That's a good line, though. I like that one.
I was like, "Wow!" And then I you weren't a fan of the hippie parents or the hippie couple, but I love the fact that the husband, the hippie husband, was like, "Yeah, you know, she wants us to do some wave our crystals around, stuff like that. We're not going to do any of that." Then, like, half an hour later, he does the exact opposite. he's like, "We're going to do a seance." I'm like, "What is going on?" You know, I'm not a horror connoisseur like you all, but I do totally understand the 5 out of 10. The things that were confusing was, okay, on the same road that it takes to go into the house, that you leave the house, the dude's girlfriend dies right there, and the car doesn't go off the road. It stays on the road. They didn't pass the car. you know, they left the city because Bobby died in the city. Why the hell would Bobby be in the damn house? I guess because, you know, the gateway of death and all that stuff, but it still didn't, you know. And why would Bobby be murderous? And a mom was fine with him scaring everybody and tearing shit up. You know, I guess I'm going too far into the likes and don't likes, but, you know, the old man, I thought I was fine with the old man. Scott was like, the old man wasn't believable. I was fine. He you know. The wife too. The wife was cool. That scene.
He was right on a fucking puppet master, dude. That's how bad he was.
The scene where they went to when they went into the cafe or whatever, or the place to eat, that made me mad because it was like, damn. Yeah, okay, I know y'all been there a week or two, but y'all haven't even went to the local eatery. Y'all went in, they looked at you like, "Oh my god, who are you?" And everybody kind of stopped and looked. It was like, you know, that was a bit much.
Right.
You know, the idea he killed that girl when she opened the old man killed the girl when she knocked on the, when she said hello and he just shot her randomly. That was weird. That didn't, you know, I can understand him stabbing his wife for giving them that note. It's funny how the mom is connected. The hippie mom was connected enough to have a coughing fit in the restaurant, but she didn't realize her own son was dead. I don't understand that coffee fit. So at the end of the day, yeah, go ahead, Scott.
Oh, well, I was just gonna say her character was she just wasn't very good in my opinion. I think that she was just a lost gypsy.
Yeah, I mean, the more I talk, the more it's just like, okay, this. I wrote, hey, Damon, I wrote down literally 2 pages worth of notes. And I'm like, Yeah, the more I think about it, it should have been like a half a page.
There you go. Now you're talking.
Yeah, because, I mean, yeah, it got bloody at the end. It was like, oh, man. Oh, yeah. Okay. These townspeople for generations took over this, okay, because it was in 1859.
Shit turned into red state real fast.
Yeah. What was confusing was this. They killed those people in the house, right? That owned the house. Why the fuck are they listening to the townspeople? Oh, we're going to appease you because we killed you by giving you people. Wait a minute. They don't own them. They don't. For them to turn at the end and start killing on the townspeople, why did they kill in the beginning? It'd be different if it was like a talisman or an artifact that kept them in line. I would have been fine with that. But there was absolutely no reason up to that point for them to change their mind and start killing the townspeople instead. And letting the hippie, like the idea of being like, well, yeah, they killed the townspeople, yeah. But they also killed it was their fault, the hippie parents and the son got killed. And did the mom die at the end? I'm confused. Did the mom die?
Because I don't think she did, no.
You put the closed captioning on, the dad says, hi, Bobby. And guess what Bobby's response is? Hi. What the fuck? Hi, Dad. Like, wait, what? But you, like, so what? Is Bobby taking over the house now? Yeah, okay. And today, I'm giving this mug. It's like, now that I've talked so much about it, my initial response would have been probably like 5 out of 10. But now the more I talk about it, it's more like 4. Because it was just. Oh, also, cinematography-wise, besides the weird thing when they cut the dude's stomach open, when it just blew open, it looked like a fucking you open up a door or something like that. The townsperson.
Yeah.
The scene where they show in the living room, and then they show the living room, and the piano, and then the corner, on the left corner, they show the stove or whatever heated up.
Right.
Why is the stove blurry?
You watched it fresh today.
Yeah, I guess it's budget constraints or whatever. But yeah, in the left corner, the stove is blurry. Like, they couldn't keep it in the vision.
You are not kidding. Like, you really just watched this shit super fresh. Yeah. Like, I missed some of that shit, and I watched the fuck out of it. But, like, really quickly, before we move this shit on, was the film enjoyable?
I think you could find enjoyment in it. Look. Yeah. One of the things we do is we sift through a lot of bullshit.
We do. We don't even always talk about all the bullshit we watch on the show. Yeah. And I feel like we need to so people understand we see a lot of bad films, too.
Yeah.
The Reaping is one with Hilary Swank, the Governor, and Idris Elba.
What?
This shit is for the butt cheeks.
They did it for the check?
Yo, everybody in here was for the check. This shit's terrible. I feel like We Are Still Here is a better film than this.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think the lowest score I've ever given on the show is to Smiley.
The Smiley was worth
it. I think I gave a 0.5 to.
Yeah.
I mean,
what do you feel like this is?
A 5. It's a 5.
But talking about it more, hearing the parts that Dre's talking about, is it stay a 5?
Yes, it does. Ultimately, it still is just meh. The scares work, but
This is how you know if a movie's good or not. Would you recommend it to a friend? I can't recommend it to a friend.
I would only recommend it to someone who liked horror movies.
Yeah, they would have to be a horror.
I couldn't even do it today. Like,
couldn't get along with Barbara Crampton, like that part would be enough to make some people give it a spin.
See, you know, it's funny, but there's different levels of that, because you got some people that's like, I don't like the best horror movies, and you got some people that be like, I'll check out some bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, if you like horror, you gonna watch some bullshit. Like,
okay, I got you. The movie was not that. I can't recommend it to a casual friend at all.
I agree. I wouldn't do that. I feel like they'd be angry with you.
Exactly.
But, other than that, is there anything else before we get out of here, man?
I would like to say I enjoyed my time, and I want to come back, man. I want to talk about comic movies. I want to talk about horror movies. Hey, man, I'm enjoying it, and hey, man.
Man, where can folks find you? You know, what's your podcast about? Like, what you got to talk about?
Okay, we talk about
who's we?
Me, James. Plug. Is the
it's plug your show, man.
You can look us up on Podomatic. It's called the James and Andre Podcast, James and Andre Show Podcast. You can also type that same thing in James and Andre Show Podcast on Facebook. And we, in general, talk about movies, talk about relationships. We're really like relationship heavy, you know, because he's married and I'm not. We also talk about sports. It's just what you generally talk about in life. Like you hang out with your friends, you talk about sports, movie, television. That's pretty much what everybody talks about. And that's something that we like to focus on. We just started about 3-4 weeks ago. We already got we're going to have about 9 podcasts up by probably tomorrow.
Wow. That's so funny.
We're trying to get to 50 by August, man. We're really enjoying this. Shit. Yeah.
That means if you keep that up, you're going to lap us up within a year.
You know, so the goal is just to have good content. But I ain't gonna lie. I want to be on Get Out the Room, man. I like this. It's really enjoyable, and you know, horror movies, and also to reflect on some of the comic stuff that's going on, the comic book movie stuff. You know, I definitely would like to come back. I'm enjoying myself.
Cool, man. It was good having you.
Yeah,
Scott, you want to drop anything before we get out?
I mean, everybody knows where they could find me all the time on the internet. I mean, I'm on Twitter all the time, I'm on Facebook all the time, and I say this every time. I still don't know if I know my Twitter password. So,
this is hilarious.
It's at Phenompire. So if you want to see any of the 6 things I've ever said on there, go check that out.
Yeah. Okay. So, you can find me DAE021 on Twitter. I also generally run the Get Out the Room Twitter account and Facebook fan page, iTunes, Stitcher, Wiki Radio Network, Podomatic, Listenopoly. We are out here.
Yeah. Oh, and hey, I'm gonna give fans a little treat too.
Oh, shit.
An old companion return at some point in the future.
What? Keep talking about it. Keep talking about it. We're going to see.
Yeah. Hey, you want me to drop who it's going to be?
No.
Sure.
No.
Go ahead.
Oh,
God. No. It's going to be a surprise.
Okay. It'll be a surprise. Okay. Yeah. And hey, for all of the multiples of fans that we have out there, you'll love it.
I mean, is it a guarantee? Because you could drop the surprise now if it's a guarantee. You said Mike.
I don't know about nothing.
Nothing's a guarantee.
It is a guarantee. It is a guarantee, but I don't know when. Let's put it that way.
Guess what? Okay. Well, I'm guaranteed that I'm coming back to this podcast, and we're going to get y'all to 91, damn it. 91.
Yo, I love his enthusiasm. Clearly, he ain't got no kids. So, we're going to... But for Dre and Scott, man, we thank y'all. We appreciate y'all. We know it's been a long time, but we back out here. Get out the room. We'll catch y'all next time, man.
Peace.
Peace.